So her name is Jan. I called her on Tuesday morning, I think, and I never got an answer. So let's stand and pray. I'm sorry, we already did pray. We'll pray for them at the end of the class. Okay. One other announcement. You know, the Essers, we've had a few Essers graduate from my class, move on to bigger and better things. Joseph is at our high school, and he's a freshman, obviously, and he's the top freshman runner for the school, and one of the top runners in the school. And they got a pretty good team, I think, right? Like third in the league. It's pretty good. The other schools are pretty much all bigger than our school. So, any other announcements? We'll forgive you. Just give her a mean-looking, snarly look.
I'm so sorry.
She does a lot of work, Mrs. Alma. Miss Alma, she does a lot of work here. Teaching and also in the kitchen, cleaning. Father Stanley's room. My room is usually pretty easy. Okay, so we're ready. So I'm going to see who can tell me what they learned from last week's class, starting with Mary Grace. What did you learn from last week's class?
Last week I learned that the sign means anointed, and I also learned that Melchizedek had no lineage, which I did more research on that, and it was really interesting.
Yes.
Yes. Catholic school, but she once told me that Jonah and the Whale was just a fictional story, but my mom taught me that it was a true story. But one time they got into an argument about that, and I just didn't know what was going on. So thanks for clearing that up.
Yeah, it is controversial. Some say it's fiction, some say it's fact. I've talked to different priests about it in our community. Probably Father Sebastian is our local theologian when Father Hugh's not here. It's not an official teaching of the church that it's factual, but traditionally, that's the belief. Okay, I've already given you the reasons for that. Yeah, I've already given you all those reasons from last week, but yeah, good job. That sounded really good. Okay. You speak well. Okay, Joseph and Peter. And Madeline, what did you learn from last week's class?
I learned that David was a foreshadow of Jesus, and Bethlehem is actually where the community is house of bread. And Jehovah is not if we said J and Jesus, then Yeshua, it would be Jeshua.
There's no J sound in ancient Hebrew, okay? That's why it wouldn't be Jehovah. Yeah, all right. Now, if you're new to the class, it's okay to do a little looking at your notes. But if you've been in my class for some years, I don't want you looking at any notes, okay? Joshua, what did you learn?
I learned that David was a prophet, Jesus, and Thomas. Yeah. And Jesus was a house of bread.
Good. Good. Genevieve.
Have
Okay. Josie? Is Josie here? Jose. Jose. Okay, Teresa.
I learned that the Old Testament mainly had three people who foreshadowed the coming of Jesus, and these were Melchizedek, Moses, and David. In other words, the Messiah that was to come was to be a king like David, a priest like Melchizedek, and a prophet like Moses. There are a few places in the Bible that show this. In Psalm 110, it says, it prophesies that the Messiah will be a priest like Melchizedek, and it says, you are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. In Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 18, it says, God is talking to Moses, and he says, there will be a prophet like you in the future, and this is prophesizing the coming of the Messiah, who will be the perfect prophet. And in Psalm 110 again, it again shows that there will be a king like David in the future, and this king is to be forgiving like David, and also is to establish peace in his people like David.
Very good. Okay. Marianne.
I learned that Jonah is a foreshadow of Jesus because he was in the belly of the whale for 3 days and 3 nights, and Jesus was in the belly for 3 days and 3 nights, and the
was the very good. Angelica. Looking at the book you gave me, St. Isidore, I was looking at that this morning. Christopher, what did you learn from last week's class? Okay. Madison! She didn't know the assignment. Sarah? I didn't really put all that together until a week ago at my age, you know. To me, it was just a big deal. It's just amazing that you're learning this way ahead of me, way ahead. Good job, Sarah. Adriel. Here you are. What'd you learn? If you have to read it to me, you didn't learn it. Okay, Frankie.
I learned about how Jesus is the Messiah and he's a king like Umar, like a priest like Melchizedek, and a prophet like Moses, and a king like David. And I have a verse from Ezekiel that says, I will appoint one shepherd.
Okay, you're just reading everything. That you don't know it if you're reading to me. Tell me, you're a new student, okay? But you're just totally reading. Can you tell me, was just glancing at your notes? Try it again.
So do you just want my overview from what I learned?
Tell me what you learned, not what you can read from last week's class.
I basically just learned how Jesus is the Messiah and how a lot of people don't really know he's the Messiah and they don't believe in it and how there is no...
You knew that already. What did you learn from last week's class? Okay. Josie. And Garrison's always late. Diego.
Mom, you didn't know that we were supposed to talk.
Okay. Sarah Ramirez.
I have something, but I don't know if it really makes sense. So I was thinking if I can do it again next week.
No. What does it make sense?
Is this
Now, well, you two were here last week, right? So you know about the assignment. Bethany, what did you learn?
I learned that Jonah was really swallowed by a whale, and if anyone says it's not true, it is true. He was in there for 3 days, and it's important to protect your faith, especially if you believe in one thing.
Mm-hmm.
And someone believes in another, and it says it wrong, and it's coming. You show them that it's real, and show them it's real, and there's nothing fake about it.
That's right. Jesus also mentioned not just Jonah in the whale, but the Queen of Sheba. And that's a historic fact, okay? So it would be strange to have something fictitious on par with something factual. Okay, it would only make sense if both of these were facts, Jonah and the Queen. Good job, Bethany. Mara.
I love that. Jonah didn't believe in God, so then he got
He believed in God. He didn't want to do what God said. Right? He was disobedient. It doesn't just happen with children. It also happens with adults. Huh? You never outgrow being obedient. No matter how old you are, you can be 140 years old, you still got to be obedient. Okay? Anything else you learned?
No.
Okay. Alex.
Father, he's sick, but he did do the work.
He could have.
He's not here, he's sick.
He could have, I believe you. Gregory.
Father, I learned one way to defend that Christ is the Messiah, Jesus is the Messiah. In Psalm 110, verse 1, it says, the Psalm of David, the Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand, and make your enemies your foot, and I'll make your enemies your footstool. Now, this, my Lord says to my Lord, is kind of confusing, but essentially, David is saying this. So, or the Lord says to my Lord. So the Lord is God the Father.
Mm-hmm.
And God the Father is saying to my Lord, David's Lord, who is above David. And David, one of the best kings in history, if not the best, who is above him? Simply the Messiah, Jesus Christ.
You did some research?
I did do a little research.
Because I didn't say that in class. That is very... I'll give you another star. Okay. Anything else?
No, that's about... Well... In Matthew chapter 22, Jesus actually defended this. he asked the Pharisees, okay, what is your opinion about the Messiah? And whose son is he? And they replied, oh, David's. And then David, and then Jesus actually responded with this song, Psalm 110, verse 1. He said, why then does David, or he said, why would David call his son his Lord?
Yes.
He says,
yeah.
And then you it implies using the song, Lord, said to my Lord, sit at my right hand, and I will make your enemies your footstool.
Sometimes Jesus teaches by asking questions. Okay, so Jesus quoted Psalm 110. It's one of the most quoted psalms, perhaps the most quoted psalm in of all 150 psalms. Okay, it's so important in regards to the Messiah being God and the Messiah being priest and king. Okay, Nicholas.
I learned that the name Melchizedek is made up of two Hebrew words. The first word is Malik, which means king.
Malik. Malik is king because Malik means angel or messenger. Malak, okay, is angel. Melek, M-E-L-E-K, that's king.
And then Melchizedek means righteous. Melchizedek would be a righteous king.
Sadek means righteous.
And Jesus would be a priest like Melchizedek. But at that time, only priests, prophets, and kings were anointed. And Jesus is the perfect version of all three of those, so he is the anointed.
It's one reason why we say he is the anointed, okay? One reason. Okay. Andrew.
I learned that Jesus is a priest. And it says in Psalm 110, verse 4, he will be a priest forever in the line of Melchizedek.
Okay. And Luke? Sophia, the chocolate eater.
That and Malachi chapter 3, verse 1, it says, lo, I am sending my messenger to prepare the way before me. And suddenly there will come to the temple the Lord whom you seek.
Who? Keep going.
And the messenger of the covenant whom you desire. Yes, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts.
Okay, you read to me. Who is this messenger?
Jesus.
Read it again.
Lo, I am sending my messenger to prepare the way before me.
Okay, to prepare. Who's that? Who prepared? Who came to prepare?
John the Baptist.
Yeah. John the Baptist came to prepare the way for Jesus, the Messiah. Okay? So now you know what you read to me. Okay, Faith.
I learned that Jesus was a priest, prophet, and king, and also, like people in the Old Testament, David, Moses, and Melchizedek, and also that Melchizedek actually used bread and wine for his sacrifices, like Jesus did, and also he had no beginning and end to his lineage. Mm. Also, one of the verses you gave us last week I found really interesting, which was Jeremiah 31:31. Behold, the days shall come, saith the Lord, and I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah.
Yeah, so if you have a new covenant, you have a new priesthood, a new kingship. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And when you see in the book to the Hebrews, in chapter 8, verse 13, it says, now in saying it new, he hath made the old, the former old, and that which decayeth and groweth old is near its end. And that's the old covenant that the Jews still use, which Jesus says is from old now.
In Jeremiah 31:31, it says, a new covenant. In Jeremiah, I think 32, it says an everlasting covenant. And then Jesus quotes that at the Last Supper. This is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. That's from Jeremiah. Good job, Faith. Caleb?
Father, I learned that Jesus was supposed to be a king. I learned that Jesus was a king like David, a priest like Moses, and a priest like Melchizedek. And I also learned that the Messiah, it means the anointed one. That's what Messiah means.
Uh-huh. Messiah means anointed, and Christ means anointed. Christ comes from the Greek Christos, and Messiah comes from the Hebrew Mashiach. Whether you say Christ or Messiah, it equals the same thing, anointed. Abigail.
I learned that Psalm 110 says, Jesus, thou art our priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. From the old Jewish custom, the priest came from the line of Levi, but Levi's line had a beginning. Melchizedek, though, he had no lineage, just as Jesus had no beginning. He's also a prophet like Moses. God promised Moses in Deuteronomy 18:18 that he would raise up a prophet like him, and he said, I will put my words into his mouth, and he shall speak them to my people. Jesus confirms the appointment by God, and he says to his parents, I must be about my father's business. And he confirmed that he's a prophet when he foretold his own death and resurrection, something that no prophet had ever before. And he's also a king. The Magi quote Micah 5:2, and they say that Bethlehem is not least among the princes of Judah, because out of there shall rise the captain that shall rule Israel. And then Jesus says that all power in heaven and earth is given to him, and that's a kingly power.
Good. Good job. Well said. That was one of the most thorough responses from last week's class. So you and Gregory both got 2 stars. Jameson.
I learned that in the Bible, God said that he would raise up another prophet who would be like Moses. And he says this in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 18. He says, I will raise up another prophet like you from among their brethren, and I will put my words into his mouth, and he will speak to them all as I commanded him. And in Psalm 110, verse 2, it said God is anointing another king who will rule over Zion. And it says, the Lord extends the strong scepter from Zion, have dominion over your enemies. And also in Psalm 110, verse 4, God is saying that there will be another priest who will be of the order of Melchizedek and who will live forever. And it says, the Lord has sworn and will not waver. You're a priest forever in the manner of Melchizedek.
Good job. That's a star. Ada.
I learned that Jesus will be a priest like Melchizedek, and it says that in Psalm 110. Says that he will be a prophet like Moses, and it says that in Deuteronomy 18, verse 18, and he will be a king like David, and it says that also in Psalm 110, and in Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 28.
Good job. Very good. Eleanor.
I learned that in the Bible, God said he would send a prophet similar to Moses. And it says that in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 18, and it says, I will raise a prophet like you from among their brethren, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he will speak to them all and have commanded him.
Good. Good job. Now, is Jose here?
Yeah.
What did you learn from last week's class?
I wasn't there.
You weren't here last week, so you didn't know about the assignment. Okay. All right. It's good to call someone if you missed class, just to know what you missed. Okay. Anybody else who didn't go? Oh, yeah. Wait, how did I miss you? Liliana, go ahead.
I didn't learn
You didn't do it?
No.
Okay.
No. Okay.
Anybody else? There you go. All right. Now, we're going to need our Bibles today. So, today's class, week 7, two topics, the Holy Spirit and the Blessed Trinity. Okay. The Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is the divine person, one of the three divine persons. The Holy Spirit is a He. The Holy Spirit is the one who proceeds from the Father and the Son. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father. Jesus said that at the Last Supper. Okay. So why do we say that the Son, that the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son? Okay. So that's why I gave a lot of quotes for that one. And then the Trinity. Okay. The word Trinity isn't in the Bible, but the reality is. Just like the word Catholic is not in the Bible, but the reality is. The word purgatory is not in the Bible, but the reality is. Okay? It really is in the Bible. It's not the word. Protestants shouldn't have too hard of a time with that, because a lot of them have altar calls. And that's not it. The reality of that is not in the Bible, okay? Not every word is in the Bible. If they have electric guitars and microphones as part of their worship, that's not in the Bible. Okay, here we go. The Holy Spirit is God. That was a huge thing in the first few centuries of the church. We talked about Jesus being God. That was also something that was highly debated in the early church. The first ecumenical council, if you don't count the Council of Jerusalem, Acts chapter 15, the first ecumenical council took place near Constantinople, called Nicaea. And that largely was about making it clear that Jesus is God. Okay? Jesus is God. And then 50, 60 years later, in 381, you have the Council of Constantinople, and that made it clear that the Holy Spirit is God. And so from that, those two councils came a new creed. The Apostles' Creed is short. You could be an Arian heretic. You could deny that Jesus is God and say the Apostles' Creed. Okay, but the Nicene Constantinople Creed made clear that Jesus is God, huh? God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, one in substance with the Father. You can't be an Arian heretic and say that one. And then it calls the Holy Spirit Lord, the Lord, the giver of life. Okay. So, it took more than three centuries before the church made that clear. The first two ecumenical councils made it clear that Jesus is God and the Holy Spirit is God. Okay, open your books to Acts chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. We're going to take a look at some of these verses. We're going to do some of these in class. So Acts comes after the four, gospel accounts. You have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And after John, and before Romans, before you get to St. Paul's letters, you have Acts. The Acts of the Apostles. Not A-X, but A-C-T-S. You have it, huh? We are pretty quick. Others are not quite sure. You're not going to find it at the, it's in the New Testament, not the Old Testament. Is that just the New Testament? Or? Okay. Acts chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. Have it, Faith?
Yeah.
Yes, Father.
Yes, Father.
Why don't you read for us verses 3 and 4?
But Peter said,
Ananias.
Ananias, why hath Satan tempted thy heart? That thou shouldest lie to the Holy Spirit and by fraud keep part of the price of the land.
Okay, so Ananias and his wife said that they were giving all their belongings to the early church, the apostles, the disciples, okay? That's what they said, but they held back some of that for themselves. And so Peter chews him out. You lied to the Holy Spirit. You got that so far? You lied to the Holy Spirit. Now keep going.
Whilst it remained, did it not remain to thee? And after it was sold, was it not in thy power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thy heart? Thou hast not lied to men, but to God.
See that? You have lied to God. First he says you lied to the Holy Spirit, and then he says you lied to God. St. Peter is seeing that the Holy Spirit is God. Our first pope said, you know, in this these two verses, that the Holy Spirit is God. Okay, so that's one proof. Now, in your Bible, it may have said something a little different, right? Andy, why don't you read yours? Which Bible is yours?
The Dewey Rheims.
Dewey Rheims. Okay, which Bible is yours?
The New American Bible.
Okay, go ahead and read.
But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled your heart so that you lied to the Holy Spirit and retained part of the price of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain yours? And when it was sold, was it not still under your control? Why did you contrive to deceive? You have lied not to human beings, but to God.
Okay, it's basically the same. A few different words, but the same ideas. Okay, so that's one proof that the Holy Spirit is God. Let's look. If you go past Acts of the Apostles, then you have Romans, and then after Romans, you have 1 Corinthians. Not 2 Corinthians, but 1 Corinthians. Why don't you turn to that? 1 Corinthians. I want you to get familiar with the different books of the Bible, so you're not just going all over the place. When I was a seminarian, my last year in Rome, our professor for scripture wanted people to read, and I was always the first one with my hand up. I always found it first, and I didn't have any tabs for the different books of the Bible, where other students did, and I was still able to find in the book, chapter, and verse, faster than practically anyone. So that came in handy in college. Okay, so 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. Okay, Teresa, why don't you read for us?
This God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit scrutinizes everything, even the depths of God. Among human beings, who knows what pertains to a person, except the spirit of the person that is within? Similarly, no one knows what pertains to God except the Spirit of God.
Okay. That's used as a proof for the Holy Spirit being God. It's God's Spirit. All right. That's God. God's Spirit is God. That's the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Verses 16 to 18. It's getting harder for me to do because I'm trying to take glasses. Is that right? Oh, that is right. This is right. Okay. Nicholas, why don't you read for us?
But whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit.
The Lord. Okay, remember, Lord is the most sacred name for God. It's saying that God is the Spirit. Okay? So that's one time.
And when the Spirit of the Lord is...
The Spirit of the Lord, that's twice now.
There is freedom. All of us gazing with unveiled faces, facing the Lord of the Lord. Are being transformed into the same image from glory to God as from the Lord who is within the Spirit.
Three times the Lord is called, the Spirit is called Lord. Okay? What we have in the Nicene Constantinople Creed, I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, there it is. What we just heard in 2 Corinthians, three times the Holy Spirit is said to be Lord. Okay? So those are three proofs that the Holy Spirit is God. There's a lot more for Jesus. Now, some people think the Holy Spirit is a force, and they reduce him to a force. But the Bible describes the Holy Spirit as a person. A person who does things that persons do. Okay? So I've got a lot of quotes for that. Let's turn back to John 14. John 14, 26. That verse comes up a few times this class. Jameson, read for us. Do you have advocate in your Bible?
Yes.
Yeah.
Not in mine, it's the paraclete.
Paraclete? In mine it says counselor. They're pretty much the same. Paraclete would be how it was in Greek. Okay? Advocate would be more the Latin. Counselor, that's something that an advocate does. Okay. One translation for paraclete, para means to the side, and kletos means to speak on behalf of another. A lawyer does that. You don't know the law, okay? But a lawyer does, so he speaks on your behalf. He tries to show that you're innocent. And he can use the law to help do that, whereas you don't know the law, so it's just better to keep quiet, okay? So that's a consolation, knowing that you have someone like that to defend you, to speak on your behalf. Okay, so there's nothing wrong with these different words. They all say something. Okay, go ahead.
The advocate, the Holy Spirit that the Father will send in my name, he will teach you everything and remind you.
Okay, read that again.
The advocate, the Holy Spirit that the Father will send in my name, he will teach
That's going to be next. He will what?
He will teach you everything.
Okay, a force can't teach you. A person, only a person can teach you. Animals can't teach you. Plants can't teach you. Stones can't teach you. Only persons can teach. Keep going.
He will teach you everything and remind you of all that I told you.
Remind you. A person reminds you. Keep going.
Okay.
Huh? That's it? Okay. So teach and remind. Let's go two chapters forward to 16. 13 and 14. You got it, Frankie? You got it? Go ahead, read it for us.
When he comes, the Spirit of truth, he will guide you to all truth.
Okay, so a non-person can't guide you. Maybe in some way a robot can. But that is programmed from a person. So it's ultimately a person. Okay, so guides you, the Holy Spirit will guide you, and what else?
To all truth. He will not speak on his own.
Okay, the Holy Spirit speaks. Okay, animals can make animal noises, but they can't really speak, you know, with words. Go ahead.
But he will speak what he hears.
Okay, he hears. I guess animals can hear too. Okay, go ahead.
And will declare to you the things that are coming.
Okay, declare. That's something a person does. Animals can't declare. Keep going.
He will glorify me because he will take from what is mine and declare it to you.
He takes. He receives, huh? And then he declares it to you. That's something that persons do. All right? Good. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 20. Verse 28. Thank you.
refreshing to see these verses.
Abigail, why don't you read?
Take heed yourselves unto the whole flock, wherein the Holy Ghost hath placed you bishops to rule the church of God, which ye have purchased with his own blood.
Okay, say that again.
Take heed yourselves unto the whole flock, wherein the Holy Ghost hath placed you bishops to rule the church of God, which ye have purchased with his own blood.
Okay, so it's the Holy Spirit that made people bishops. You have to be a person to do that. Jesus made people bishops. Do you have bishops? You have which Bible is that?
New King James.
New King James. Okay. Does someone have something different than bishop?
Overseers.
Okay. Now, the Greek word is episkopoi. Epi means over, and skopos means seer, one who looks over. He's up on a hill and he looks over at the sheep. Okay, out at the sheep. Okay, overseer. In Latin, that'd be more like supervisor. Super means over. Visor, it has to do with seeing, looking over. But technically, it's bishop. Okay. Episkopos means bishop. Episcopalians, they have bishops as the ultimate head of their church, of what they call church. They're not under the Pope. They're under a bunch of bishops. Okay, so different words, but bottom line, they are bishops. Bishops oversee the sheep. They look at, Jesus said, you know, tend my sheep, look after my sheep. Okay, keep going. Well, that was it, okay. 1 Corinthians 12:11. Going to get a lot of practice today, huh? Looking at the Bible, making up for the 11 weeks. So chapter 12, verse 11, I got it. You got it?
Can you read loudly for us?
Okay, you got to see what it says at the beginning of chapter 12. It talks about all kinds of spiritual gifts, like knowledge and wisdom and speaking in tongues, interpreting tongues. These variety of gifts of the Spirit. Prophecy, miracles, healing. Okay, so it's the Holy Spirit that gives to various people these gifts. The Holy Spirit, okay? You have to be a person to do that. Can you think of a non-person that could do something like this? No, there is none. Okay. And in John chapter 3, verse 5, you must be begotten of water and the Holy Spirit. That's the sacrament of baptism. Okay. And then John chapter 20, verse 28. That's on Easter Sunday, Jesus saying to the apostles, peace be with you. And then he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Jesus gave them the Holy Spirit on Easter before Pentecost Sunday, at least in regards to a certain power. Receive the Holy Spirit, those sins you take away. That's what it says in the Greek. Okay, the forgiveness of sins means take the sins away. Those sins you take away are taken away. Those sins you don't take away are not taken away. So Jesus gives them the Spirit, which gives them the power to take away sins. So you have the Holy Spirit linked with baptism, the Holy Spirit linked with confession, the Holy Spirit linked to bishops. What's Romans chapter 5? It has to do with love. The Holy Spirit giving the greatest gift there is, the Spirit of love. In Greek, that's agape. In Latin, it's caritas. It's not the emotion of love. It's a participation in God's love. The Holy Spirit gives that gift. Okay? And then in Galatians chapter 4, verse 6, it's the Holy Spirit that moves people to call God Abba, Daddy, Father. Okay? You have to be a person to do this. And then in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, he gives the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and patience, and chastity. All these fruits, those come from the Spirit. So, basically, he's a distributor of all these gifts. Okay? These would be the charisms, and then baptism, confession, and love, the fruits, and what was this, Galatians? I forgot already. Okay. And in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. Oh. St. Paul says, do not sadden the Holy Spirit. Okay, so that can't be a force. That has to be a person. Persons are saddened. You know, don't sin, don't do wrong things so as to sadden the Spirit. So these are all biblical verses that show that the Holy Spirit is a divine person. Now, let's go to John chapter 14, verse 26. You have that? Could you read for us?
But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you.
He will teach you all things. Is that what you have in your Bible?
Huh?
Anybody have anything different? What does it say?
Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life.
That's something different, right? 14, what did I say? 14, verse 26. Yeah, you got to go ahead. No, you have it. But it says he, right? What do you have?
The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name,
will teach you. It doesn't say he, right? Will teach you. So you don't know in this Bible verse whether it's a he or not, right? Anybody else have something like that? Okay. You have to go to the Greek. Now, the Greek word is a... I'll write it on the board. Ekinos. Now, it means that one. But it's masculine. Okay? If it was feminine, it would be ekina. If it was neuter, it would be ekine. Okay? So if that's saying it's he, it makes it clear that one is a he. It's masculine. It's saying that the Holy Spirit is a he. And that's the case with other Bible quotes, with some other Bible quotes in John's Gospel, where it says a kainos, it means he. Jesus is calling the Holy Spirit a he at the Last Supper. Okay. Let's go to 15:26. The Son is begotten. Okay, begotten of the Father. The Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father. This is biblical. It's not something the Catholic Church made up. This is in the Bible. Okay, John chapter 3. You must be begotten by water and the Holy Spirit. But not the way Jesus is. He's the only begotten Son. Okay. Okay, so the Holy... keep going.
He shall give testimony.
He shall give. The Holy Spirit, huh, is a he. Anybody have something different?
When an advocate comes... whom I will send from the Father, the Spirit of truth that proceeds from the Father. He will testify.
He, so you have he too, right? Anybody not have he?
I have he.
You have he. Everybody has he, okay? It's a kainos. That one, but it's masculine. Okay, 16. John chapter 16. So that's 8. You got it?
Sin and righteousness, and damnation.
sin because they do not believe in me. Righteousness, because I am going to the Father and you will no longer see me. Condemnation, because the ruler of this world has not been condemned. I have much more to tell you, but you cannot bear it right now. But when he comes, the Spirit of truth, he will guide you to all truth. He will not speak on his own, but he will speak what he hears, and will declare to you the things that are coming. He will glorify me, because he will take from what is mine and declare it to you. Everything that the Father has is mine. For this reason, I told you that he will take from what is mine and declare it to you.
I counted 9 times the Holy Spirit is called He. Nine times. So those are proofs that the Holy Spirit is a He. All right. Now, the Holy Spirit is the one who proceeds from the Father and the Son. The Orthodox, whether they're Greek Orthodox or Russian Orthodox or some other kind of Orthodox, there's a bunch of different kinds. They're so similar to Catholics, except they're not under the Pope. They have all 7 legitimate sacrifices. They're the first big group that split from the Catholic Church. Officially, it was in 1054, but unofficially, I mean, it goes back a few centuries. So many cultural differences, you know, between Rome and Constantinople. They were so far apart, and communication wasn't all that good. And so just slowly, Constantinople went off on its own. They had the greater theologians. Later on, it was the church in the West, the Latin-speaking world. They had the better theologians like St. Augustine. But before St. Augustine's time, the better theologians were those in the East. That was seen as the epitome of the church. Especially, you know, Constantinople. Now, one difference between the Orthodox Church and the Catholic Church is this right here. The Orthodox say it's clear from the scriptures that the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father. We have an actual verse that says exactly that. But hundreds of years after Jesus, I think it was like the 6th century, there was some pope who was writing to a bishop in Spain, and he said, you know, the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son. And the Orthodox Church is going, where did that come from? You know? And the Orthodox Church has just kept that one idea, you know, the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father. Okay? And they think that the Catholic Church just tacked on, you know, the Father and the Son without them, and they're not buying it. Okay, so that's why I got a lot of quotes. So we're going to go through these quotes. Let's go to Luke chapter 24. Just go to the end of Luke. 49, that's towards the end of 24.
What was it?
Luke 24:49. Clara, could you read that for us?
I said the promise of my father upon you, but stay in the city, till you be endured with fire and long time.
Jesus is saying, I will send the promise of my Father. That's the Holy Spirit. Okay, the Father promised the Holy Spirit. This is what Jesus says just before his ascension. I will be sending you, not just the Father, okay, but I, Jesus, will be sending you the Holy Spirit. Okay. John chapter 14, verse 26. There's a lot in here about John 14, 15, and 16. The Last Supper for today's class. Yeah, we've already had this, right? With the counsel of the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. Okay, so he's saying that the Father will send the Holy Spirit, but in my name, the name of Jesus. All right, 15:26. So it's saying again, Jesus is saying, I will send him to you. I will send the Holy Spirit. And then verse 14. The word all. Okay. He will take what is mine and declare to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. He will come. What the Spirit says comes from Jesus. That's 7 and then 14. Oh yeah, we already did that. Okay, let's go to 20, 22. That was a little bit weak. So here, the Holy Spirit comes from Jesus. Jesus breathed on the apostles and said, receive the Holy Spirit. It's not something the Father did. Jesus breathed on them, and then they got the power, the authority, the command to take away sins. Okay? Galatians 4:6.
Is that in the New Testament?
Yeah, it's one of St. Paul's letters. It's after Corinthians and before Ephesians. God has sent the Spirit of His Son. The Holy Spirit is said to be the Spirit of the Son. Okay, my best proof. No one's ever showed me, pointed this out to me, if this is something I discovered on my own. To me, this is the best proof. The last book of the Bible, Revelation, verse 22, chapter 22. Last book of the Bible, you don't have to flip through pages, just go all the way to the end.
That's
Revelation, the last chapter of the last book. Very end. And then those first two verses. You haven't read it, have you? Verses 1 and 2. Read loud.
Then he showered me the river.
He showed me.
He showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal flowing from the throne of God and the Lamb.
Okay, we got three things. Three symbols. Okay? The throne. What does that symbolize? You see it throughout the book of Revelation.
Kingship.
Who's on the throne?
God.
God the
Father.
It's a symbol of God the Father. Okay? And then, who's the Lamb? Everybody knows that one. You see that throughout the whole book of Revelation. Probably the word you see the most. And everybody knows, you know. And also in John, St. John wrote this, and he also wrote the Gospel according to St. John. And he has John the Baptist saying, "Behold the Lamb of God." You know, and he's looking right at